It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 68 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Well, right off the bat, Carson, I think we need to announce this very exciting news that we have for our listening audience. The very first Minnesota Star Championship was won by none other than Carson Ray of Radio TCX.
Thank you, Tim. I'm honored. Paula Bassage and Fenn held true for me. But more importantly, it finally happened. Scum Aces, the pack we've been waiting for, Guns for Hire got spoiled, giving us right away the new titles for the Curax and the Star Viper, which is way more important than listening to me talk about my store championship victory.
Yes, as much as I'd love to dedicate an entire episode of the show talking about your great feats of valor at this store championship, I think our listeners are very interested to hear all about all the new exciting stuff in this Hired Guns expansion.
Yeah, let's get to it.
All right, so first off, I just have a bone to pick with Fantasy Flight Games here. If you guys want a little inside knowledge to how we record Radio TCX, our record times are usually Monday evenings, which is great because normally we've got the big scoop on whatever article gets posted because Fantasy Flight traditionally posts their X-Wing articles on Monday mornings. For whatever reason, they decided to post this huge spoiler article on Tuesday morning. So while everyone else is all excited about the new titles for the Curaz Fighter and for the Star Viper, we are still talking about the spoiler article for the TIE Aggressor.
Yeah, and the TIE Aggressor is fine, but Curaz and Star Viper, these are some exciting ships.
So Carson, you were particularly excited about any potential fix for the Star Viper and the Curaz. To the largest degree, you were looking for something for the Star Viper. So how excited were you when you saw this article post and you saw that image with the new cool repaints of the Curaz and the Star Viper?
Initially excited, and then 1 second later, terrified, because you wait for your ship to get fixed forever, and then there's the hopes and the fears of, well, hopefully they got it right, hopefully it's going to be at the right power level, but their fear is, well, what if they didn't? What if they shot a little too low, and then it never gets played?
Yeah, so there is kind of that fear where it's probably, if a ship's got a problem in the metagame where it's not seeing enough play, it's probably only going to get the one fix. So I think we kind of saw this take a sour route with the B-Wing, where we got the B-Wing E2 title, and that really didn't put the B-Wing up to where it needed to be competitive. We haven't seen B-Wings show up in the competitive scene in any substantial way since then. Whereas there are other more successful fixes, like the TIE Defender fix, where we had both the TIE X7 and the TIE D titles, both of which saw a lot of play, in particular the TIE X7 titles, very popular. We saw a nerf on the TIE X7 title, and I'd still argue that it's a pretty strong upgrade card.
Yeah, points reductions with a power boost is always like a nice baseline for what you want with a fix for a ship that's just really underperforming. But I think the most important thing with these like aces revamping of certain ships is that they really need to address the underlying issues of why those ships are suffering. You know, were they overcosted initially for their stat line? Is there just a fundamental issue in what that ship excels at is just not what is desirable in the game right now?
Yeah, so as we look at these titles here, I think we should start with the Vox'ai title for the Curaz. We'll just do a quick recap. I know we dedicated a full episode when we were talking about Pulse Ray Shield and a lot of the issues that the less used scum ships had. But let's just go over some of the problems we saw with the Curaz to start. So one of the huge issues that the Curaz has is its durability. It's got 4 hole and 1 shield and then just 2 agility dice. And that's a common hit point total that we've seen across several ships. The Star Viper has the same thing. The Hawk has the same arrangement of hit points. And I think what was happening to a large degree is as the game kind of escalated in alpha strike damage or early game high damage output, ships like this were very easily being wiped off the board in the first volley of fire.
What the Curaz had going for it was its baseline was pretty cheap. Looking at the 20-point pilot skill 2, that was a fine, efficient jouster at exactly the day before it was released, where you could fit 5 of those in a list, and that is probably comparable to BBBZ. Doesn't have quite the staying power, but you have more red dice. But the ship also has a decent amount of upgrade slots. It's got the missile, the illicit, and a decent amount of elite pilot talent upgrade slots available to it.
And on top of that, I actually don't mind its dial so much. It's got one hard turns that are white, which is a pretty big deal for a small base ship. That gives it a lot of extra maneuverability. And it's got a 5K turn, which is also pretty great, especially for a jousting type ship who often needs to, if moving at a lower pilot skill, needs that extra range to get behind his target. But at the same time, this ship was kind of dead on arrival because it had a lot of the same issues we were seeing with the T-65 X-Wing, where that low hit point total at just 5 hit points meant they were getting cleared off the board. The T-65 X-Wing saw a bit of a boost in the form of the integrated astromech upgrade, which effectively not only gave it that extra hit point, but it could discard a damage card at a key moment, which I think is a pretty substantial boon to that ship. The other problem is, right when this ship was released, we also saw the release of another meta-shifting upgrade card that's still relevant today, the Twin Laser Turret.
Right, and the big issue with the Kuraz here is, why would I take 5 of these when 4 Y-Wings with that are going to have a more consistent damage output?
And be more durable.
So it was just, like, strictly better, and that's kind of really the issue with the Kuraz was, you know, it was a fine, efficient jousting platform, but the Twin Laser Turret just puts all those to shame at their original release date.
Well, and at the release of the Protectorate, that really sealed the fate of the Kuraz for a time, because the point cost of the Protectorates, even across both generics and the named pilots, when compared to the Kuraz's pilots, the Protectorate's just clearly the better option. You have a better action bar. You've got one more agility die. You do have no shield on the Protectorate, but it's got a substantially better dial. So it's hard to see why you would take a Kuraz at that point when you can take the just all-around better Protectorate Starfighter.
Right, and that issue just gets blown up even further when you compare Talonbane to Fen Rao, where they're both rolling 5 dice at range 1, but Fen Rao has 4 green dice plus the evade on this title, and Talonbane's just got 2 green dice. So that's a huge difference on the survivability, regardless of all the other different chassis issues.
And Talonbane and Fen Rao, of course, come in at the same point total base cost, which is just really sad for the Kuraz.
But now we have the Voxai title, so this should level the playing field a bit.
All right, so the Voxai title is a Kuraz fighter-only title that comes in at 0 points, and it reads, the squad point cost of each of your equipped upgrades is reduced by 1 to a minimum of 0, and then it reads, you may equip up to 3 different modification upgrades.
Yeah, so let's tackle the first line of text first, where we said the Kuraz had a decent amount of upgrade slots, but with its limited survivability, it was really hard to justify spending any points on those. And when you're trying to take a bunch of them for jousters, even just taking like a glitter stem on all of them, that was hard to fit in.
And even the cards that would boost its durability, things like hull upgrade, shield upgrade, stealth device, or even cloaking device, all tend to be a little too expensive to put on that ship and make that investment worth it. So seeing a point cost reduction for all your upgrades here suddenly shifts the value of all those upgrades to make them a lot more reasonable. Like, I'm much more willing to take a 2-point hull upgrade to get that extra hit point on that ship as opposed to paying the 3 points.
And then, of course, that bleeds into the now you can equip 3 modifications, which is really new territory. Obviously, the Royal Guard title for the Interceptor allowed them to take an additional modification, but those are really all limited into boosting their defense, whereas here the Kuraz has like a really wide range of what it can do. Obviously, you can take those hull upgrades, shield upgrades. They have access to the pulse ray shield upgrade. Obviously, you can't pair that with a shield upgrade because then you can't take the pulse ray. Vectored thrusters now for just 1 point is amazing. Engine upgrade is kind of crazy, but that allows you to also take auto thrusters, which is really new territory. This is the first ship without the ability to equip auto thrusters natively, now has the option to choose to be able to equip auto thrusters by first taking the engine upgrade and then taking auto thrusters.
Well, and when considering the cost of an upgrade card, there's actually 2 costs. There's the inherent printed point cost of the card, and then there is the opportunity cost of using up that slot. So before, even if you were to, say, somehow get a point cost reduction on a modification, you had the opportunity cost of, well, I can only equip one of these modifications now. It gets very difficult, especially now that we have so many great mod options, it gets very difficult to decide, well, which of these upgrade cards deserves that one slot. By adding 2 additional modification slots, you take away a lot of that difficulty in choosing which modification to choose. So not only are you getting this compounded point cost reduction across all of your upgrades, but now I can decide, well, I'll take a 1-point vectored thrusters to get a barrel roll, and I'll take a 2-point hull upgrade to give me some extra durability. And I still have that option to keep that third slot open for something like a guidance chips at 0 points if I'm running a homing missile or concussion missile.
Right, and guidance chips isn't necessarily an obvious choice there because you're not getting the value off the point reduction for that upgrade, but you're getting the value off the point reduction for your missile, and making that missile count, I think, is nice. And then you can still have two other mods, so that's fine.
In a lot of ways, I think this Voxai title for the Kiraz is very similar to the TIE X1 title that we saw for the TIE Advanced, where you were not only adding a slot, in that case you were adding a system slot, but it also reduced the cost of using the slot. This one's a little more far-reaching because it affects all of your upgrades, not just the modifications.
And probably about 90% of TIE Advanced use just the advanced targeting computer system. Whereas here on the Voxai, I think there is a wide range of options, and I think there is probably a decent number of equally good choices here. I think you can go along a lot of different paths. You can make it super defensive, and there's even different ways to do that. You can go the auto thrusters route. You could go like a Stygium particle accelerator, pulse ray shield, cloak regen version. You can do stealth device with a scavenger crane to re-trigger the stealth device. And you can take some sort of mix of all of these.
Well, and thematically, I think that's what they're really going for with the Voxai title. It's to make the Kiraz this very adaptable, scum and villainy themed ship, where these are just, you know, outer space pirates that are just kind of hobbling together ships with different components, and they can tech them out exactly the way they want to, rather than the Rebels or the Imperials, who are generally using kind of standard military loadouts.
Yeah, we also see this with, like, the Heavy Sick title, where you get to choose to either take a cannon, a missile, or a torpedo. So kind of the same sort of thematic thing there.
So coming along with this new title is at least a couple new pilots. We know there's a pilot skill 4 unique pilot named, looks like Captain Something. We don't have any details on him. But we do have details on the pilot skill 7 Kiraz named Victor Hell. This comes in at 25 squad points and has the ability, after defending, if you did not roll exactly 2 defense dice, the attacker receives 1 stress token. This has an elite pilot talent slot as well as the standard missile and illicit slot on the Kiraz.
Right. I mean, so obviously at range 3, where you get that extra green dice, this is a nice trigger there. Or you can, in your list building, upgrade this a bit more or, you know, go for those obstructed shots to get this ability to trigger. Go for stealth device. The article says expose. I think that's a terrible choice. Kiraz already have bad defense. You don't want to make that any easier for your opponent.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some room that this ship can fit in. I think a lot of it would be a metagame call where what is the value of that stress token against another Atani mind link list? That stress token's very valuable because you're not just stressing the one ship, you're stressing their whole team. And I think the combination of things like stealth device, which is a so-so modification generally on 2 agility dice ships, if not a bad modification on 2 agility dice ships, suddenly gains them a lot more value if you can pair that with a scavenger crane that will help you get that stealth device back.
Well, and I think Victor here is going to look really nice with a missile where you want to shoot at range 3 and your opponent really then doesn't want to try and focus you down for that missile. So you're going to get that off. And then if you're running a missile, you probably want to take Scavenger Crane, which then means you should probably just take Stealth Device for that synergy. So if you're in a Tawny list, the first ship fires at Victor, takes a stress, stresses the whole team. Then your other ships really can't shoot him because they're at risk of getting double stressed at that point. And I feel like that's a pretty terrible choice to make.
It is important to note that unlike abilities like Rebel Captive, where the stress is dealt when the ship is targeted, Victor deals the stress after defending, so you're not going to be able to deactivate things like expertise.
Pretty neat pilot. Let's get over to the Star Viper.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, just a quick update here. We're still waiting for some of the Patreon payments to go through, so we will be doing our monthly raffle next week where we're going to be giving away 2 copies of the Rey Alt Art promo from Worlds 2017. In order to be eligible for this upcoming raffle, you needed to become a patron by the end of last month, but if you didn't do that, that's all right. We have raffles every month where we give away a lot of cool prizes, so you can become a patron at patreon.com/radiotcx and be eligible for that raffle.
The support from you, our patrons, helps us keep this show going and allows us to grow into new things like our monthly live streaming. So we really appreciate all of our patrons, and thank you for supporting the show.
And now, back to the cast. All right, so the Voxeye wasn't the only title that they spoiled in this article. This article actually did spoil a whole lot. It was just basically the two titles and the Victor Hell pilot card. But we did get a new Star Viper title. So this is a new title that reads, Star Viper only, -3 squad points. So that means it'll actually reduce the squad point cost of this ship by 3. And the ability reads, you may equip up to 2 different title upgrades. And then, when performing a barrel roll, you must use the one bank left or one bank right template instead of the one forward template.
So that first line of text is really just a technicality because the ship still does need access to the Virago title. Even at its baseline, it needs that for the efficiency. And so the fixed title had to still allow the Virago title to be equipped.
Well, and I think maybe one of the reasons they chose to do this as a title as opposed to a modification, which I think would also be an option here, is they wanted to leave that modification slot open for things like auto thrusters, which is becoming increasingly important, especially for ace ships like this.
Right, and then the second text gets to kind of what the core of what the Star Viper is. It's supposed to be a really good repositioner, and so now it gets a fancy barrel roll. And the cool part about this barrel roll is it's that one bank template, but you can orientate it either banking forward or backwards when you choose your barrel roll. And this allows for some pretty cool mobility, especially if you're at an angle where when you slide that template, it adjusts your position based off how you orientate it, like how far forward or back. If you're angled a bit and you slide that bank template along the side of your ship, it's adjusting your position along 2 different axes as opposed to just one with a normal barrel roll. So there's a lot more nuanced movement you can do with this and some pretty cool tricks around moving around rocks and stuff.
Well, and this title very aggressively addresses at least one of the problems that the Star Viper has. Because the Star Viper is a ship, we say the Kiraz had a lot of problems, the Star Viper has even more problems. The base costs across the board for all the Star Viper pilots, whether generic or unique, are far too expensive for what the chassis can provide. The pilot skills on the Star Viper tend to be very low. So even for the named pilots like Guri or Prince Xizor, 5 and 7 is not a good place to be, especially when that then means in order to get them to a reasonable level, like getting Xizor up to 9, you're going to have to use your elite pilot talent slot for veteran instincts, which is a huge opportunity cost.
So the Star Viper was the Scum's original Arc Dodger ship, kind of like the Imperial had the Interceptor, Rebels have the A-Wing.
But it's been clearly outclassed by the Protectorate at this point.
Right, so the Protectorate did the same thing, but cheaper. So now this -3 cost does help them come into around the same cost as the Protectorates. The issue is still, I think, going to be that the pilot skill difference where you have, you know, Fenn and Old Tarok at 9 and 7, Xizor and Guri are at 7 and 5. So they're 2 pilot skill down on those guys, which when you're a repositioner, that's when pilot skill is the most important. And so it's really hard to justify taking a pilot skill 7 repositioner or a pilot skill 5 repositioner. Now, a Tawny Mind Link synergy with Guri is perhaps good enough to make that still worth it. But then she's just at pilot skill 5.
Well, and one thing that the Star Viper had going for it before was that the 2 unique pilots had really cool, interesting abilities. Guri, of course, allows you at the start of combat, if you are within range 1 of an enemy ship, you get to assign a focus token to your ship, which already has great synergy with Atani Mind Link. Because if you get assigned a focus, suddenly all your other Atani ships get assigned a focus. And Xizor actually had a really cool ability too, where when he took damage, you could pass one of the uncancelled hit or crits over to a ship at range 1. Which, Carson, you and I both used in a couple builds early on when the ship came out to pass that damage off to some Y-Wings and really add to the durability of the Star Viper.
Right, and when we talked about how the ship not having access to like those evade tokens, really what we wanted was the ability for the ship to push the limit and take focus and evade and just turtle up with 3 dice, auto thrusters, focus and evade. But that wasn't an option. The pilot abilities of both Xizor and Guri gave you ways to get close to that. So Guri can come in, take a focus, and still have the option for getting that second focus with her ability. And then Xizor, throwing the damage off to other ships, was sort of like having evade tokens. You just eventually run out of Y-Wings. Or it was like an anti-Biggs effect where it was like, shoot everybody but this ship. Which was fine, because then your ace got to live.
I think the Star Viper overall is a ship that really needs the kind of action efficiency you get from Push the Limit or Atani Mind Link, but it didn't have great options before. It obviously existed pre-Atani Mind Link, and it was not a good ship for Push the Limit, because after getting that stress token, you didn't have a lot of maneuver options, because the Star Viper dial is not great. Its only green maneuvers are the 1, 2, and 3 straight, as well as its 1 banks. So if you needed to turn in at all when you got stressed, you became very predictable. And since you didn't have the evade, like Carson said, you don't always have a good combination of options there, because you don't want to boost and barrel roll every turn.
Now, this new barrel roll, as far as its movement options, does get you kind of close to the reposition you can get from using both a boost and a barrel roll. So it is somewhat action efficiency in getting a superior movement option.
Because it not only moves you laterally, but it also adjusts the angle of your arc, which is often one of the key reasons you would perform both a boost and a barrel roll, is to arc dodge and then boost your ship so that you can get into a position where you have a shot now.
Right, and it also can move you more backward than any other repositioning action. Obviously, the quad jumper can move more backward than a Star Viper, but using that new barrel roll, like, you can get out of range 3 pretty well or something like that.
Well, and looking at this title now, it's got arguably the most aggressive point recosting we've seen of any of these quote-unquote X-Wing fixes. We've seen other upgrade cards come out before that reduced the point cost of a ship, whether it be the Chardin refit on the A-Wing or the TIE X7 title on the TIE Defender. This is definitely the most aggressive for a number of reasons. I think both of the other point reducing upgrade cards, where they actually reduce the cost of the ship, not just upgrades, but the cost of the ship, they usually come with something that's more or less like a negative aspect. So in the case of Chardin refit, you lose out on your missile slot, which means you're not going to get those proton rockets. And then in the case of the TIE X7, generally that's a beneficial card because you get free evade tokens after performing certain maneuvers, but you also lose out on your cannon and missile slot. So you lose a little bit of versatility there. Not that the TIE X7 really needs those slots, but that is a negative aspect. I would argue that the Star Viper Mark II, changing the barrel roll to having to use that banked template instead of the straight template, that's not really a negative at all, because you can learn to work around that, where the cases where you'd really want a lateral straight barrel roll are going to be pretty narrow.
Yeah, I think this is the first cost reduction that is 100% an upside, and it's the most aggressive cost reduction, which I think solidifies our constant rambling that the Star Viper's been underpowered forever.
Yeah, this seems like the strongest admission of guilt from Fantasy Flight that they overcosted the Star Viper.
And that they misprinted its dial with the Aggressor. they'll never admit to that one. So, Tim, let's answer the question. Do we think this title is enough of a fix for the Star Viper?
Well, both these titles are helpful in that they're generic, so that you can put them on multiple ships. I don't know if you necessarily want to run multiple ships. I'm tending towards looking at the Star Viper Mark II as close to a fix. I think Guri, with the point reduction and Atani Mind Link, fits in well for 28 points into an Atani Mind Link squad. I don't know if this addresses enough of the issues that the Star Viper has. Because like we said, there's a number of issues here, 4 to 5 main issues that I'd have with the Star Viper. This really only addresses the costing one. We still have issues like pilot skill. 5 and 7 are not a great place to be, especially for a ship that's got boost and barrel roll and a funky barrel roll. And the lack of any way to get evades and the still pretty lackluster dial all are continuing problems for this ship.
So for me, like, the fix is fine, with the caveat that Atani Mind Link doesn't get nerfed, which seems like that's asking for a lot at this point for this comp faction. Atani Mind Link on both the Kirax and the Star Viper is actually pretty fair, because those ships don't have all of the greens that you see on, like, the Fangs, the Shadowcasters, and the Jumpmasters.
Yeah, where receiving that stress token makes them substantially more predictable, whereas getting a stress token on a Saj or on a Protectorate doesn't mean they're that predictable.
Right, and I think the Kirax would be fine without Atani. It's obviously going to be better with Atani, but the range of options for upgrades and the reduction of the cost there for all the upgrades, I think that ship would survive an Atani nerf. I don't think the Star Viper would with the new fix. I think the pilot skill and a repositioner being so low is just, they didn't quite get over that hurdle with this cost reduction. But if they ever nerf Atani, I think we definitely should see perhaps the Virago title just errata to include a pilot skill boost. They could even do that before nerfing Itani. That'd be fine by me.
Yeah, that would address a lot, and we've seen them change upgrade cards now in the past where we saw the heavy sick title have added text where it gave it an extra hit point. I think it would be great to see just a pilot skill one bump from the Virago, get Zizor up to 8, and then suddenly he's a pretty reasonable repositioner. Falls in line with the Inquisitor or Omega Leader.
Right, and then even if you took Gurry without Itani, you could take Veteran Instincts and put her at pilot skill 8, and that would be a fine option there.
I think one more thing we need to consider, too, looking at the Star Viper, offensive output is generally a problem if you don't have fire control system on the Star Viper. So I would love to run an advanced sensors on the Star Viper. I've done that in the past, and it gives it a lot of awesome mobility and repositioning options, especially with those S-loops it has. The problem is you really need fire control system to make its offense reliable. We do have a couple named pilots here, a pilot skill 4 unique and a pilot skill 6 unique. If that pilot skill 6 unique had a even remotely offense affecting ability, suddenly that ship with Veteran Instincts would seem like a pretty reasonable option.
Yeah, I was really holding out for a pilot skill 8 here. I was a little disappointed to see the low. They made the same mistake with the Star Viper pilots in the expansion coming out. Both on the low end, even lower. But overall, still upside. Obviously, getting the fix is better than nothing.
Yeah, and I'm really excited for the Vokzai title on the Kiraz. I'm not even sure where the Kiraz's role will fit into the game of X-Wing, but I think that title is so open-ended that there's a lot of room to play with there. And this ship will be able to adapt to a changing metagame a little bit more than, say, the Star Viper title might. All right, I feel like we can't go this whole episode without talking about your store championship victory at Tower Games in Minneapolis.
All right, fine. We can talk about me for a little bit.
A few key points I'll say from the tournament as a whole. I was actually kind of shocked by what the faction split was at this event. I was expecting a lot more scum and villainy, especially after its strong performance at Worlds, where I believe it had 11 out of the top 16 lists. We actually only had, I think, a half dozen or so scum and villainy lists. At this event, a lot of people opting to play Imperials.
Yeah, you were one of them. Not just Imperials, but a lot of Quick Draw.
And Quick Draw actually is a pretty cool ship in the metagame right now. I like it a lot because it's kind of adaptable. The variant I was running actually had a homing missile on it and adaptability to get him to pilot skill 10 if need be to counter any Fen Rao's. Which is one of the best ways you can take on a Fen Rao right now is having a ship with a repositioning option like the barrel roll on the TIE SF and pulling away from that range one bonus or even arc dodging.
Yeah, in my 5 rounds of Swiss, I played 4 different quick draws. So that was crazy.
There's a lot of different ways to load it out. We saw a quick draw backdraft list with Pure Sabacc where both quick draw and backdraft had targeting synchronizer. So basically everyone could share each other's target locks. We also saw a quick draw and Rear Admiral Chirinau Decimator make it to the final table when you played against Brandon Crusoe.
Yeah, Brandon Crusoe was my one loss in Swiss, and he went undefeated all the way up until the final table. His quick draw was interesting where he had both Expertise and Electronic Baffle. Usually I like to see Expertise because Asajj can turn that off. I lost the first game against him in part because I kind of just gave him a free polyp by using Asajj's ability to stress quick draw. He baffled, got that extra shot from there onto polyp, and that was enough to kill him. Before he got to fire. And that was even with a focus evade token there.
So lesson learned moving into the final match.
Right. And well, it's an interesting decision on that Asajj trigger where, yeah, I'm giving him the choice to baffle, but then he's using that ability for the turn. So hopefully I can use my attacks to push damage through and wipe all those shields. Unfortunately, it just didn't work out that way, especially in game one, where the only damage I put onto his quick draw was his 2 baffle triggers. Game two did not start great either in the final table against him, where I lost Polyb in that opening engagement and then lost Fen the next turn and had Asajj versus like a 5-hole rack and a full up quick draw and was able to finish off rack and then where I just had shields down on Asajj and then kind of play the long positioning game, able to eventually leverage my ability for advantage there with the stress tokens.
Yeah, that was a very close game right down to the end. I think you got a big advantage there where there was one turn where you got him stressed and that gave you the upper hand where he didn't shed that stress right away. And then suddenly you're dealing out additional stress and keeping his expertise locked down and being able to use Lots Razi to pull those stress off to add extra evades gave you a bit of an edge on the damage curve.
Right, but I was losing that game for at least the first 60 minutes of it. And really just came back in the last like 5 minutes of the game to swing it around. Both those ships, like Quick Draw and Asajj, are about the same points. And him being ahead on the damage race there and having me beat a pilot skill was pretty tough.
Well, congratulations, Carson, for winning the event. And a congratulations to Brandon, who was undefeated up till that match, and he was just crushing it all day.
Yeah, and I just want to give a shout-out to Alex McDonough and Sean Cardell for also making the top four there. Hope all of you do well on your next door championships.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. We actually have a special request for you, our listeners. If any of you guys end up winning a store championship in your X-Wing community, let the show know. Send us a message what store you played at and what list you won the event with. We'd love to start giving shout-outs to you guys every time you take a store championship. We'd love to see the Radio TCX fan base doing well. And if you really like the show, please consider going on to facebook.com/radiotcx and liking our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going onto iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other X-Wing players might be interested in listening.
This week, we want to give a special shout out to Deke Then Shoot, who said we were the perfect podcast for both new and seasoned X-Wing enthusiasts, and enjoyed that we kept our rambling to less than 60 minutes.
So thank you, Deke Then Shoot, and everyone else who's already left us a review on iTunes. It really means a lot to us.
And if you want to support the show directly, please go on to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. Maybe earn some sweet acrylic target locks.
Again, guys, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.